This is an iHeart podcast.
Some fun on a Wednesday, and I have to get something out of the way first. You're not going to like hearing it. I don't like saying it, but it's out of my hands. I am not going to be here on Friday, which means today being Wednesday means what? It means you need to get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in today, because we're going to do Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday this week, and then Friday you'll have my man James T. Harrison here giving you a fresh, hot new show. So get your questions in, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, what do we have tonight? We have an IRS whistleblower. The whole tax thing, it's going exactly like you think. Project Veritas has a new intelligence bulletin. Remember that whole thing about them trying to turn you into a domestic terrorist enemy of the state? Hang on for that. We'll get to that very quickly. They're still trying to sell you the polio's ravaging New York thing. And, of course, there's mafia news. I'm so excited when one of the five families in New York get busted because it gets me a chance to talk about the mafia. Now, hold on, mafia guys. I didn't say I'm not excited you're going to jail, okay? Don't send something mean to my house. I just like being able to talk about it. All that and much more tonight coming up on the Jesse Kelly Show. Oh, before I forget. About half hour from now, my buddy BK is going to join us. And I know you've heard me tell you to move 1,000 times. Move. BK lives in a blue area too, a very, very blue area. He doesn't want to, and he thinks, when I say that, he thinks it's wrong. He thinks you should stay and fight. We're going to have a friendly debate about that. Plus, he's a former Air Force PJ. We'll ask him about some Afghanistan stuff, all that, and much, much, much more. But before we get to any of that, I need to go someplace else. What time it is? No, you don't need to look at your watch. This is a term I undoubtedly have said. You've heard it from me. You've heard it from many in the new right. But what does it mean? How are we supposed to tell? You got to know what time it is. He doesn't know what time it is. You got to know what time it is. Well, this is what it means. And we're going to pause for a second. We're going to rewind, do a little history. A history story you probably know. If not, it's a good one to know. You ever heard of Cincinnati, Ohio? Just hang with me. Of course, you've heard of Cincinnati, Ohio. But do you know where that city got its name? It got its name from a man named Cincinnatus. Cincinnatus was a Roman citizen. And Cincinnatus was famous for this reason. You see, Rome, before it had the Caesars and emperors and whatnot, just stay with me. Before it had the Caesars and the rulers, Rome was a republic. They were very, very proud of that. They were proud that they were different. They didn't have a king. We have a Senate, and we will join together and reason together, and the people will have representation. You know, a lot of that. It's a very good thing. However, Rome understood something, and they understood something very well, that sometimes, on occasion, that form of government is not good. Overall, it's good, but every form of government is not good at all times. They understood that in times of crisis, if you are being invaded or a war or something like that, you simply don't have time. That form of government doesn't work. We can't meet together and have a long debate, and we'll give and take, and there's a little tit for tat, and he gets a little and I get a little. And, well, look, we'll talk about this for 2 weeks. There's no time. There's no time. So what would they do in a time of crisis? Rome would nominate, would put up a dictator, a temporary dictator. It was always temporary, but they would say to a man, hey, we need you over here. Everything's yours. You are officially the God King of Rome. Do whatever you want, whenever you want. You go here. You go there. You stop production on this. You're making swords. Your men are mine. And they understood that was a necessary thing to do in a time of crisis. They also understood how dangerous that was, as we should understand. But they understood different forms of government, different strategies are required for different times. I personally, just full disclosure, I've taken those stupid little online quizzes forever. Hey, what's your political philosophy? Forever. And in general, honestly, I always felt very libertarian. I would score libertarian on all of them just because I despise the government. I think it should be itsy bitsy teeny tiny and people should be free. So that's what I want. I want small government, whatever you call that. But we cannot live and let live our way out of this mess. And more than anything else, it is important that you and me, that we, one, recognize what time it is, and two, that we choose political candidates who also recognize what time it is. Vice President Mike Pence does not know what time it is.
I also want to remind my fellow Republicans, we can hold the Attorney General accountable for the decision that he made without attacking rank and file law enforcement personnel at the FBI. The Republican Party is the party of law and order. Our party stands with the men and women who serve on the thin blue line at the federal and state and local level. And these attacks on the FBI must stop. Calls to defund the FBI are just as wrong as calls to defund the police.
No. No. And that's a man who doesn't know what time it is. And I'll tell you what else. Your position on the FBI should be this. Complete disbandment. Honestly, defunding the Federal Bureau of Investigation isn't near enough because the next Democrat president and Democrat Congress will just walk in and flip on the lights again and hand them a bunch of money so they can walk right back in and arrest you. If you know what time it is, if you understand we now have an NKVD operating within the borders of the United States of America, then you understand the only acceptable thing is the FBI being broken into 1,000 pieces and scattered to the winds. You don't have to love that. You don't have to feel good about it. I think that sucks. I think it's horrible we don't have a federal police arm we can look up to as some kind of elite force. Nevertheless, that's where we are as a nation. And I'm going to play this again because there are a couple things we need to unpack here.
I also want to remind my fellow Republicans, we can hold the Attorney General accountable for the decision that he made.
Pause. What's that mean? Anyone? We can hold him accountable. Okay, Mike. What's that mean? You remember yesterday I was complaining about Texas Senator John Cornyn and South Carolina Senator Tim Scott because they keep saying, we have to wait for the facts to come in. Hey, let's let all the facts come in. And I translated that for you into what they really think. What they really think is that you're an ignorant, absurd rube who criticizes the government too much. They're ashamed of you. They're embarrassed of you. It means that they meet with their Democrat friends behind closed doors and they laugh about what a stupid hick you are. But they know they can't say that on TV. So instead, they simply do the wait for all the facts to come out thing. That's exactly what Mike Pence is doing right there. We can hold the Attorney General accountable. These politicians are so used to saying something without saying anything that they now just do it routinely. What does that mean? Hold them accountable. My son got detention today. He didn't. Well, actually, he probably did. But my son got detention today. I will hold him accountable. Okay. What's that mean? What it means for Mike Pence is nothing. Holding him accountable means I will do nothing. I will run and complain to various conservative outlets who will play my comments and I'll fundraise off of them. But as far as doing anything at all that will actually intimidate or punish Merrick Garland for getting way outside of the law, Mike Pence doesn't want to do anything. Why doesn't Mike Pence want to do anything? Because Mike Pence doesn't know what time it is. And I'm not near done on this. And yes, I'll move on to my New York Mafia stories. And I'll move on to making fun of Liz Cheney and many other things. but we are going to stay on this. I'm going to keep it paused right where it was, and we're going to unpack all this because you and I, we have to demand of our representatives in the future that the FBI be held accountable by disbanding it completely. The complete disbandment of the FBI is the only acceptable course. Sometimes you got to set aside what you've been and know what time it is. Cincinnatus was appointed that dictator of Rome. He went, he fought, he conquered, then he gave up his dictatorship and handed it back to the Republic. He celebrated to this day. They knew what time it was, so did Cincinnatus. We must do likewise. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, two of New York's oldest mafia clans charged with money laundering. What, Chris? I find this so exciting. And they had secret gambling parlors. You know what? I'm not getting into that yet. You got to give me a few. I have to finish on this Mike Pence thing, and then we'll talk about that. Remember, we have BK coming up about 10 minutes from now. We're going to argue a little bit about should you leave that blue area of yours or not. But I want to finish this with Mike Pence. We're going to unpack this, knowing what time it is. Mike Pence thinks these calls to defund the FBI are ridiculous.
Without attacking rank and file law enforcement personnel.
Why shouldn't I attack rank and file law enforcement personnel if they're dirty? You know how many FBI agents have come forward? Chris, do me a favor. Look it up real quick. I think the number is 30,000. That may be wrong. Look up how many FBI employees there are. You know how many rank and file FBI agents have come forward as whistleblowers to date to describe the corruption? 35,000? Yeah, I thought so. 35,000 FBI agents to date. 14 have come forward. Now, those 14 are heroes. There's no question about it. But don't you dare stand up there behind the microphone and try to sell me on the saintly men and women on the ground at the FBI. Are they there? Oh, I'm sure they're there. If you're there, now's the time to walk into Senator Cruz's office, Senator Cotton's office, Senator Rubio's office, and become a whistleblower. Otherwise, your organization has to go away. No, I don't have you. Chris said 0.04%. Oh, the saintly men and women on the ground, 0.04% have come forward to discuss the corruption.
The FBI. Republican Party is the party of law and order.
I am the party of law and order. That's why I don't want 30 federal agents to raid the home of the former president of the United States of America. The party of law and order doesn't mean the party that blindly supports the Federal Bureau of Investigation. If we want to talk about actually standing behind street cops who are wading through the muck, now that I can do. You want to talk to me about the NYPD that has to go out there and fight with the scum every single day and actually supporting them? That I can do. Don't you dare sell me on backing the same organization that raided Epstein's private island, collected all those videos and pictures, and flushed them all down the toilet. Don't you dare try to tell me that that's supporting law and order. Up yours.
Our party stands with the men and women who serve on the thin blue line at the federal and state and local level.
Were they serving? Were they standing on the thin blue line, Mike, when they found two cracked out meth heads in Michigan and sent in their agents and their informants to set these two idiots up for some assassination kidnapping attempt? And these guys continue to get acquitted or have hung juries because it's coming out the FBI planned and organized the entire thing. Were they standing on the thin blue line then, Mike, when they were trying to promote a anti-right story and dropped it in October of an election year to try to paint the right wing as extremists? Were they standing on the thin blue line, Mike, when they heard the school unions, the teachers' unions, were upset that parents were finally showing up at school boards, and the teachers' union sent a letter to Merrick Garland, who then sicked the FBI on those parents? The counterterrorism heads of the FBI met to discuss which terrorist threat level to assign to angry moms at a school board meeting. Is that what standing on the thin blue line means, Mike?
And these attacks on the FBI must stop. calls to defund the FBI.
Quick reminder, Antifa has no terror tag. Black Lives Matter has no terror tag. If you're a father who showed up and complained to the school board that your son was being taught that white people are evil, you do have a terror tag.
FBI are just as wrong as calls to defund the police. And the truth of the matter is, we need to get to the bottom of what happened.
Again, that same line. This is your heads up, and then I'm going to move on because I have to talk about mafia gambling. This is your heads up. Whenever you hear Republicans saying, we have to get the facts, we have to get to the bottom of it, we have to wait till everything comes out, that's a Republican who laughs at you behind your back with his Democrat friends and will never do a single thing. It's not just Mike Pence. There are tons of them, from Tim Scott to Mitch McConnell to John Cornyn to Mitt Romney to every other daggone loser out there. They all laugh at you behind your back. The difference between the Democratic Party and the Republican Party is the Democratic Party is scared of their base. The Republican Party is ashamed of their base. They think you suck. They think you're an idiot. I'm tired of being treated like an idiot. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to a mafia gambling parlor, Chris. What? Yeah, I am. Here it is. For nearly a decade, families visited a small coffee shop in suburban Long Island for pastries and gelato. Many were unaware of the long-standing operation playing out just feet away from them. Mafia members were running a secret underground gambling den in the store. Gosh, I want to go to a mafia hidden gambling den so bad. What, Chris? Yes, it's like a speakeasy. Now do you see? I love Long Island anyway. That's where all the Republicans are. I want to go to Long Island and I want to eat pastries. And then I want to go back and I want to talk to Bruno and I want to give him the secret code. And I say, hey, Fat Tony told me I could come and gamble, eh? And I want to go down and I want to gamble. What, Chris? I'm not going to get shot. They understand. That was a good Italian accent. You don't understand how to habla. Anyway, the business is one of several across the island and Queens that served as a front for two of New York's oldest crime families and their illegal money-making schemes, according to two federal indictments. Gosh, that's awesome. Genovese and the Bonanno clan, in case you're wondering what they are. Chris, do you think there's someone we could reach out to? There's not? I mean, we don't have to. What? I do know a mafia lawyer, actually. Oh, that's a great call. Now, let me ask you something, Chris. Be honest, because you talk to the suits a lot more than I do. How much trouble on a scale of 1 to 10 do you think I'd get in if I was caught in a secret gambling den for the mob? Chris said you only get one strike. I mean, who in the audience, honestly, which one of the suits would even be surprised if I was caught in a secret gambling den? At this point, they're probably going to be disappointed if I'm not. You know what? I'm going to ask BK about that. My buddy, former Air Force PJ BK, is going to come on and tell you why you shouldn't move. And more. Next. I wish I could eat your cancer. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't forget, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, because I have a thing I have to do on Friday. So get your questions in. Ask me anything. Get them in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. The headbanging music can only mean one thing. That means my friend, former Air Force PJ and host of the great podcast World News with BK. BK is joining me now. All right, BK, let's have a friendly argument about this whole thing. I say you need to move. I say people who are blood red in these blue areas need to move. Not because I want to abandon New York City or San Diego to the communists. I don't. I say it because I want you safe. I want you to have a prosecutor who doesn't want to throw you in prison for 30 years because you farted in public. Go.
Yep, Jesse. That's what I said on Twitter. I totally get it, and I totally get the reasons people want to leave California. As you know, I am in San Diego in Southern California. I'm right on the beach. And I'm certainly sympathetic to that argument, but at the same time, I just don't want to cede, like you said, some of the most beautiful places in the country to far leftists. I don't want to leave, and I feel like if I left, then they win, and I just don't want to do that. Like, there's enough people, at least in San Diego, where I feel it's still not beyond hope. Some of the other parts of the West Coast are clearly beyond hope, namely Los Angeles, as you saw in the failed recall of their crazed far leftist Marxist DA. But I feel that there are still people here that can be convinced. And I would like to stay, and I feel like I'm running away if I run to a red state.
I understand that feeling, especially for a warrior like you, the feeling of feeling like you're running away. I get that. I 100% get where you're coming from. I just don't see, I mean, you tell me. You've seen all the stories out of New York today, people getting stabbed in the gut on the subway, of course, repeat offender. You tell me how this turns around, BK. How does it? Where's the turnaround mechanism? Gascon, you just pointed out, is not getting recalled. Alvin Bragg, New York's not getting recalled. These people are not losing. They're getting worse. How's this turn?
Well, a part of the way it turns, Jesse, and this is another beef I have with some conservatives, is that we need more people to go and get higher education so they can get into these institutions that are completely co-opted by far leftists, namely academia. And the other big one is journalism. Because if we have more journalists who ask harder, tougher questions, then maybe we can turn this around. Like for me, if I'm a journalist, Jesse, every time I'm interviewing a family who was victimized by one of these criminals who was let out repeatedly, given break after break after break, I would be asking them, well, who did you vote for? What district attorney did you vote for? Do you regret voting for that person knowing what's transpired now? That's a problem. We don't have any journalists like that. So I would really like to see more of these kinds of people in journalism. Now, I realize the challenge is getting hired on in the first place. But I feel like if we really tell the story, and we have a few great examples out here in San Diego, local guys, Jesse, a guy like Dan Plant. He's the local KUSI guy out here. The guy does great work. He's out in the streets asking really, really tough questions, and we need just so much more of that. The nationwide, the national news programs are a joke. The local news, though, I feel can be redeemed.
BK, be honest with me. There's a headline today about the Bonanno and Genovese families running secret gambling parlors in a little cafe that serves pastry and coffee. Would you gamble there? I want to gamble there so badly. It's killing me.
100%. Of course I would. Yes. Is that even a question? First of all, it's a victimless crime. So, like, the way the law enforcement, the amount law enforcement spends on, like, gambling and prostitution things to me is absurd. One of my dreams, Jesse, is to be sitting at a poker table with some big, fat Italian guy offering me platters of meats and cheeses as I drop my mortgage payment. That's my dream, Jesse.
It's funny you bring that up, BK. Again, we're speaking with my buddy BK, former Air Force PJ, host of the World News with BK podcast. It's funny you brought that up. I recently interviewed a guy who was retired from the FBI a long time ago, and he went undercover with the mob for the longest time. And his job, he was a manager of a gentleman's club, a mafia-run gentleman's club. And I asked him, because I was very earnest about the whole thing, I said, you know, was that hard on yourself and your family going undercover like that? And he said, it was the greatest job I've ever had in my life. I went to a gentleman's club and ate fresh Italian food every day.
Well, 100%. You know, I mean, and Jesse, it's been a long, you know, my podcast listeners will know this, but I have always, every time I see one of these stories about some international heist crew stealing art, I'm like, where can I send my application? My resume is fantastic, Jesse. I'm highly skilled in, like, you know, high-speed driving and weapons and rappelling off roofs, and all I want to do is wear a badass suit, the cool shades. I've already got the hair and the ab veins and everything else. I want to know where I send my resume for the international heist crew, Jesse, because I'll do it for free to start off with.
BK, I want you to be honest with me. And for those who don't know, Air Force Pararescue, PJs, that's the serious, serious special operators, pretty much the baddest dudes out there. Do they ever teach you how to pick locks? I want to pick locks so badly. And I don't actually want to break in anywhere and steal anything, but man, I would pick my own lock at my house if I knew how, just to show off.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, we had like these little, I mean, there aren't formal courses, but a lot of this training you get in special operations are dudes, you know, like professional locksmiths who will come to the unit, you know, for a couple days and teach you. I mean, they even make these like clear plastic locks, like master locks, so you can actually see the tumblers inside, and they teach you like how to manipulate this. A special forces, a Green Beret friend of mine, they sent him to Florida for 3 months to go through a a lock-picking course. I mean, this dude was taught how to steal yachts and hotwire all kinds of, like, tractors and everything else. I'm like, that is the coolest thing ever. I fear, knowing my dark side, Jesse, that as soon as they taught me this, I'm going to be out there stealing things left and right, because I'm not going to be able to stop picking locks. That's all there is to it.
Gosh, I want to steal a yacht so bad now, and I don't even like thieves. Dang it, dang it. All right, real quick, Liz Cheney goes down. It's, of course, the most petty thing in the world. Gets up, compares herself to Lincoln, talks about Trump the entire time. What is it with the Bush-Cheney people in this never-ending blood feud with Trump? Isn't this so boring to you?
It's so boring to me. I'm just, honestly, I'm glad we don't have any more Bushes or Cheneys or any of them. I'm just glad they're out. I tell you, with the Cheney, with Liz Cheney specifically, she really, I think in the social media era, a lot of these politicians tend to let the Twitter journalists feed their ego, and they get caught up believing that, hey, every single New York Times person on Twitter thinks that I'm awesome. That surely will translate into electoral success. But Liz Cheney, the New York Times editorial board does not vote for you. The people of Wyoming vote for you. And I'm all about, hey, if you want to stand up and say Donald Trump is a danger to the Republic, fine. I mean, but your constituents might believe otherwise. And at the end of the day, Jesse, your job is to represent your constituents. It's not to sit up there and grandstand. And I have no problem with her saying that, hey, let's face it, Jesse, Donald Trump is still out there saying the 2020 election was stolen. And I mean, God, dude, give it a rest, man. It's over. It's ancient history. But if she wants to stand up there and scream about Trump all the time instead of representing the good people of Wyoming, then apparently they had different feelings and very strong feelings. They say she could lose by 40 points. Ooh. I mean, this is a landslide. It's a crushing defeat. So all politics is local, Jesse, once again.
He is BK. His podcast is outstanding. World News with BK. Highly recommend it. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Jesse.
BK and I are going gambling, Chris. You can't stop us. No one can stop us, Chris. We'll get in and out. Call Bruno. All right. Call Bruno. We're going in. All right. Maybe we'll go gambling. That is if we don't all die of polio. The CDC says it's big, big trouble for New York. We'll talk about that in a second. Before we do that, do you want to come gambling at a secret mafia den with me and BK? Do you? I know you do. That's fine. But here, we have to have a commitment. I will make this commitment to you. You make the commitment to me. We have to go in armed. We never know what we're going to run into down there. Got some leg breakers. We have to practice with our Mantis X system. Mantis X attaches to your weapon. You practice inside of your home without firing a shot. You don't have to leave the air conditioning. By the way, I should note, you can take it to the range. It works for live fire too. But you dry fire practice in your home. And you can get ready. We have to get ready to shoot our way out of the underground gambling den. The only way we can do that is with Mantis X. Those Green Berets he was just talking about, in all seriousness, they use Mantis X. The Marines use Mantis X on Paris Island. You want to get better? You use Mantis X. Go to MantisX.com and get one today. Military-grade technology, okay? MantisX.com. We have to practice. We are never going to get better. Even if you're already good, get better. And trust me, those skills will fade. MantisX.com. MantisX.com. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and yes, I'm aware the Inflation Reduction Act has been signed into law. I am aware. Old Papa Joe was up there. Oh, the special interest.
Let's be clear. In this historic moment, Democrats sided with the American people, and every single Republican in the Congress sided with the special interest in this vote.
Aren't you glad we're all coming back together again? Remember when Joe Biden was going to bring us all back together, and Trump was too divisive? Of course, idiot Chuck Schumer was up there.
After 4 years of a president who relished creating chaos, Americans are seeing what it looks like to have a president and a Congress that's focused on delivering results.
Who relished creating chaos. You know what? I have many, many thoughts on the creating chaos. We're going to talk about that about 10 minutes from now. And obviously, I have some thoughts on Liz Cheney getting blown out in Wyoming. Not that I think you care about the Wyoming congressman, but man alive, the delusions of grandeur with these people.
The great and original champion of our party, Abraham Lincoln, was defeated in elections for the Senate and the House before he won the most important election of all. Lincoln ultimately prevailed. He saved our Union, and he defined our obligation as Americans for all of history.
Yeah. Okay, Liz. I would just say this because I'm gonna move on. I do want to get to this polio thing, and I have a lot to say about the Chuck Schumer thing. I'm gonna say this: the Cheney Bush faction of the Republican Party, it could have been so much more. It would be looked at so much better in hindsight if they had set aside all the petty grudges. But I'll tell you, you know I'm white trash, right? And I grew up extremely blue collar. That's just my entire life. So I didn't grow up rich. I didn't travel in fancy media circles or with a bunch of rich people. So I didn't really fully realize until I started doing what I do now how incredibly petty even the most powerful people are. They're so petty and small. And we make this mistake. I know I've made it before, so you probably make it too. We see them on TV or we hear them on the radio or something like that. And we, even if we don't admit, we almost look at them as being higher, right, in some way. Well, of course, she's on TV. She's a politician. She's on the radio. They're a billionaire. It's a president. It's a vice president. They're above all the petty bickering like that stupid neighbor Sally and me go through. No. They're just as petty and just as vindictive, and the Bush-Cheney thing against Trump has been a huge net negative for the country. They didn't even have to jump in. Let's say they hated Trump. Okay, Trump's a bombastic personality. I get it. You get tough-talking New Yorker Trump versus the Bush-Cheneys. They're much more the Texas-Wyoming thing. There's a big difference in foreign policy. Okay, you hate each other. That's fine. Why don't you just shut up? Why not just stop talking? Wouldn't that have done so much more? But they can't because there's this petty vindictiveness there that I just can't get over. All right. Before I talk about polio, really quickly, you know the wife had to call Pure Talk today? Pure Talk actually didn't do anything wrong. Remember, you can keep your cell number and keep your cell phone when you switch to Pure Talk. You can get a new number, a new phone if you want, but you can keep your old one. And when we switched from T-Mobile, it was a year ago now, I think. When we switched from T-Mobile, bill got cut in half. We switched from T-Mobile, she kept her phone. Just wanted to keep her phone. It was an older iPhone. It's totally fritzing out on her. Battery won't hold a charge. So today, she had to get a hold of Pure Talk. And I was sitting around the house. And I thought, okay, this will be interesting. I talk about it a lot. I've been on the phone with them. They treat me like gold. What if it's somebody they don't know? What if it's somebody who doesn't speak for them on the radio? I wanted to see how it went. My wife hung up less than 10 minutes on the phone. They got her taken care of with a brand new phone, an amazing discount. And she said, man, you're not lying. They're wonderful to work with. American customer service, a person who speaks English on the phone. They're just wonderful. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll get you an additional month free. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Polio concerns grow in New York over the CDC report. It is fascinating to watch the system now try to throw everything against the wall to make sure you are in a constant state of panic. They really, boy, this whole COVID stuff, It was like a drug for them. COVID, using COVID to whip the public up into a massive panic, it was like crack for these people. They clearly are hooked on it now, and they can't get enough. That's why they're throwing, there's droughts and climate change, and there's polio. The CDC is now revealing that polio virus was detected in New York earlier than previously thought. Most recent polio case was reported in June, but a new CDC study said it had been circulating in New York since at least April. Oh my goodness, that sounds huge. How many millions have already gone down with it? Quote, the reports are that the individual who was suffering from paralysis had polio and came to Brooklyn while he was infected. I'm not ignoring polio. Grateful that we have a polio vaccine, but the CDC's issuing guidelines. Everyone's scared to death. There's scare headlines. Polio's spreading around, and still it's one guy? What, Chris? Oh, no, he didn't even get it in New York, Chris. I hope you didn't think he got it. No. He showed up sick, and now, because we are a country that loves to panic, the media has discovered that we love to panic. Now they push panic all the time. It is absolutely unending. I did enjoy this from Biden, by the way, when he was talking about signing the Inflation Reduction Act into law. It is so weird, these people who do nothing and act like it's heroic. I remember Robert De Niro. I know you know Robert De Niro. When Trump was president, he's this horrific liberal, just idiot. And I remember him walking up to the stage, on stage at a reward show, and he's standing in front of a bunch of communists, and he's a communist, and he says, I just want to say one thing first. F Trump. He said the cuss word. I can't play it for you. It's a family show. He's like, F Trump. And then he holds up his hands. He holds up both of his fists in the air. If you're watching me on the simulcast, you'll see me do it as if he just did something hugely brave. The communists standing in front of a room full of communists saying F Trump. They all do this stuff. Biden did it today when he signed a massive bill into law.
Today, too often, we confuse noise with substance. Too often, we confuse setbacks with defeat. Too often, we hand the biggest microphones to the critics and the cynics who delight in declaring failure, while those committed to making real progress do the hard work of governing.
I did it, guys. I've passed. Too often, we have sat back. Too often. You know this bill, on top of the 87,000 IRS agents, and we'll get into that again some more. You know this bill is a massive government handout to all the big corporations, right? Including Pfizer. Bet you didn't know that, did you? All right, we still have an email roundup stuff, but I'm going to go back to this again because I have many thoughts on this. Here's New York Senator Chuck Schumer.
After 4 years of a president who relished creating chaos, Americans are seeing what it looks like to have a president and a Congress that's focused on delivering results.
4 years of a president who relished creating chaos. Aren't you so thrilled that things have calmed down now? Do you understand what they do? Do you understand what he's saying there? Do you understand the game they're playing on you, and maybe it's working on you? We have to have a very serious talk about that. Hang on a sec.
This is an iHeart podcast.